This is a replay of the Wednesday night, July 26th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday to Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together, so if it's on your mind, I guarantee you it'll be on mine. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Only caveat is it can have no real importance whatsoever. Yeah, so I hesitate to open with, quote-unquote, the war on drugs. Drugs won. All right, so here's the deal. As I'm reading about the 3.5 tons of cocaine on a submarine off the coast of Mexico, and Mexico had unusually nabbed these ships. I don't know, in terms of we could probably have a hell of a discussion on why. The Coast Guard, the U.S. Coast Guard, does on occasion. But as I'm looking at 3.5 tons and not even able to easily configure how much money that would be on the open market, I read that Italy captures 5 tons of cocaine transferred from a cargo ship to a trawler. So it's been a bad week for the traffickers. That's for darn sure. 5 tons. I believe that's close to $1 billion. All right. Yeah, I know we're all in the wrong business, but I can see why there are some who want to keep it illegal. All right. So we'll just move directly on, as well we should, as I say, to whatever's on your mind. I did continue the culinary tour. Yesterday was Culinarian's Day. And as you know, we have been talking about the fish sandwiches, the aforementioned fast food fish sandwiches. I had tried Culver's on Friday and was very impressed. Well, today I tried Burger King. And, well, let me put it this way. John looked at it and looked at me and said, just don't eat it. I said, no, this is a, this is science. I must. And nothing bad happened to me. It was clearly, as far as I was concerned, inferior to the Culver's cod. However, like I say, nothing bad happened to me. I'm not sure what the right adjective is all the way around, but it's a distant second so far, and kind of made me think that maybe I won't try McDonald's for quite a while. But so that's keeping you up to date on Fish Witch 2023. All right, so now Mark in Scottsdale went for Arby's, Burger King, Culver's, and McDonald's in that order. I haven't tried Arby's yet. They don't have the sandwich, but they do have like fish kind of stick things, and I might be up for that. McDonald's, yeah, I sort of remember that one. All right. All right. 888-876-5593. Johnny in Austin, who called us last night, thank God, made good on calling back. So what's up, Johnny?
Well, when we left off last night, a lot of folks were asleep, but we got to talking about this Tony Bennett TV special that I accidentally ran across on Sunday night.
And I saw it today.
You're not much of a TV watcher either, so I was kind of surprised that you said, I'm going to think about checking that out. And did you see it?
I did. And like I say, I didn't even know what Paramount Plus was. The only reason I know that we've got it is I do the bills all the time, and I see what comes in every month for Paramount Plus. Oh, okay, well, we got it. So I said to John, well, if we've got it, find this. And he found it in less than a minute with no trouble at all. And so yes, I did watch it. And it was... you know, I can understand why you might tear up, because clearly it was Tony's last performance, and you could see the greatness in him, but you could also see the fact that he was fighting a vicious battle by that time. But Lady Gaga was terrific. She just really was, and treated him with such love and respect.
Yeah, it was really amazing, and it was just by chance. I was just checking my over-the-air TV signals, just kind of goofing off and playing mm-hmm. technician on Sunday night, and I landed on CBS, and I think it was about 30 minutes left on it. I said, like, what is this? I mean, I knew it was Tony yeah. Bennett, of course,
yeah.
and I knew that he had just died
yeah.
just like last week, and I'm like, when in the heck was this show done? Because I'd read an article about Tony Bennett having dementia.
Yeah, he did at that point in time. He was already suffering, and it was 2021, and it was interesting because the last thing to leave him were the lyrics to his songs.
I know, and that's in this article that I had read. It said that, you know, he would be out of it. Oh, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah,
he'd be out of it a lot, but whenever it came time to remember or sing one of his songs, he was right on it.
Yes, absolutely.
And then when I saw that on TV, it just touched me so much. I mean, I couldn't stop the tears flowing. I mean, it was just so, I got so emotional.
Yeah, it was,
you know,
it was very well done. And it's a wonderful piece to remember him by. And like I say, also to really see what Lady Gaga is made of. It was just great. And, you know, the interesting thing about Tony Bennett, as we started to talk about last night, is he had the lean years that were not good to him. And I was thinking about a lot of the pop standard and big band crooners who, you know, all of them got wiped out by the latter 60s. I mean, there was just no room at the inn anymore. You were lucky if you got a lounge act in Las Vegas. But you had people like Frank Sinatra who were doing the Tony Rome movies and things like that. You had Dean Martin who had a television show. But here was a pure singer, Tony Bennett, and he really had nothing.
Well, I didn't know a lot about his career over the years or his life. I knew that what I really had actually remembered was he had this resurgence on MTV back in the 80s.
Yes.
And I thought, this is, I thought back at the time, this is so cool. You know, Tony Bennett's been around a long time and now he's so hip again and he's
right.
popular and this is great. But I didn't know that he went through all those hard times in the 70s at all.
Yeah, well, and so many, many of the acts did. It was, and that was true also because it was, as we were talking about, you look at the early to mid 60s and, you know, the record hops were big. Most every market had a dance show or two that one of the local disc jockeys would host, and they were on top of the world. And literally, it was like someone flipped a switch and it was just over. And so it's interesting to see who recovered and how they recovered and who didn't.
Well, I had no idea he had the cocaine drug issues and all that until I read this, and that was after I saw that TV show on Sunday night. Well, it was that night I looked him up, and I'm like, let me take a look at his career here and just take a deeper look into who this man really was, because he really seemed like a genuinely good human being.
Yeah.
He really did.
Yeah. Well, like I say, he didn't have other business interests. Like, of course, Sinatra not only had the movies, but had the record label and things like that. And Martin had the TV show and all that. You know, here was Tony, who was a pure singer, a singer's singer in many ways. And you look at it, and he had virtually no television. I mean, I think he was on one episode of The Doris Day Show in 1970 and, like, one episode of Remington Steele in 1985, things like that. But no presence. And the fascinating part is how he really bounced back. And I'm sure the person most surprised about that was Tony Bennett.
Well, from what I read, he reached out to his sons when he really realized. I think he reached out to two of his sons when he had this drug issue in the 70s.
Right, right.
And he said, you know, I'm a wreck. I'm paraphrasing again, but I need help. I'm lost.
Right.
And I think that a lot of us can relate to being lost at times in our life, whatever we do.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. It doesn't have to be substance abuse or anything like that. But when you've been on top of the world for so long, and he had been, I mean, from the time he was on Columbia in 1950 onward, he was just, you know, pretty much setting the world on fire. And, you know, then it just comes to a screeching halt. And that's hard to overcome for most people.
Well, of course, because when you're riding high, you think it's forever.
Oh, you do. Absolutely. And I can't tell you the number of people I know who went through that, and really how they got through it defined them. And, you know, Tony was lucky from the standpoint of he had sons and he had people to, you know, to turn to. But all that said, I don't think he could have scripted his comeback if he tried. This was one of the things where you really say, you know, this is where the Lord intervened. I mean, how he was able to, you know, bounce back and become popular again, because very few people did.
I don't exactly know if I read or just skimmed through that article about him and his comeback, but how did all that MTV happen for him? Did his sons, I mean, someone was promoting him, obviously. I mean, that just didn't just fall in his lap, right?
I would assume, and I don't know the facts of that. I know they started having him guest on a lot of the late night shows and all that, but exactly who put that together, I'd love to know. I have never bothered to research that.
Another thing that amazed me was in the early 70s, Capitol Records seemed to be a little infamous about not knowing what to do with talent.
Yes.
As in Aretha Franklin. They never really knew what to do with
her.
Well,
Columbia was worse with
Aretha.
Well,
I was thinking Columbia,
yeah.
Right.
Columbia,
and then
yeah.
So they get him in there and try to get him to do these cover versions of these pop songs, and I think at some point he said he threw up.
Well, he's not alone. They did the same thing to Mel Torme. And just painful stuff for somebody who was that accomplished a jazz singer to be suddenly, you know, remaking top 40 bubblegum music was just painful. So, you know, I'd love to know who, you know, who decided. And, of course, I know that the kids booked him, like I say, on Letterman or, you know, all those type of shows. But that alone wouldn't, you know, make you have a huge comeback. So I don't know. I know alt-rock was involved in it, but who started that? I'd love to know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's such a faded memory. I was doing radio in Houston at the time, and all of a sudden, and I wasn't a big MTV watcher at all, but I was like, what is the deal with this Tony Bennett on MTV? And I didn't know he had any lag in his career. I didn't know anything, but I was like, well, here's this older guy who's some superstar on MTV with a bunch of young people. How good does it get, you know?
I know part of it is he was doing benefit concerts, but again, you know, what caused alt-rock, and there has to be a story there that somebody will know. It'd be a great book all the way around because, as I say, he is unfortunately not the exception. This was very common, and most of the crooners, if you will, didn't come back. That's why years ago when John Rooke was alive, he was trying to do the Hit Parade Hall of Fame because there literally was no Hall of Fame for the pop standard guys and gals. And that's true, of course, to this day. But he broke out and came back, and I don't think anyone would have bet on that in 1980.
What was he doing in the 80s on MTV? I mean, I just remember he was just
I thought it, like I said, I was not an MTV fan, but I thought that was more like 1990 than the 80s, but I could be wrong. But what I will say is I know there were a bunch of benefit concerts, and I know that alt-rock embraced him. And, you know, there again, I'd love to know why. And, you know, he was on the MTV Video Music Awards and all that, which is, you know, later in the MTV life. So I think it was the 90s, not the 80s, when that was happening. He was What was that, MTV Unplugged, was that show in the
Yeah.
That's
so,
the 90s.
I mean, was he doing all his old standards on
there? Yes. Now, there were other things as well, but there was an MTV Unplugged Tony Bennett album, and that was in 94. And, you know, by then you were starting to see the Great American Songbook, and you were seeing a resurgence in general. So, you know, timing is everything. And when that album that MTV Unplugged put out, it sold very well. I think it was platinum or whatever, but it was, it got a Grammy and, a few of them, I think. And so, that was a real comeback.
Well, when you grew up listening to a lot of R&B, what attracted you to Tony Bennett, by the way?
Well,
because I didn't know how you felt about him at all.
I liked pop standards. You know, like 1952 was just like the best year. And, you know, it's embarrassing to admit, but, you know, the Joe Staffords and the Joni James and, of course, Frankie Lane. In fact, Frankie Lane, when he was on Mercury, was probably my favorite. And then when he went over to Columbia, you know, they redid the stuff and all that, and I thought it was not good at all comparatively. But that Frankie Lane Mercury stuff was just wonderful.
And, I agree.
Buddy Clark, you know, Dreamer's Holiday and Linda and things like that. I just always kind of liked pop standards. They weren't, you know, I preferred the R&B, but I liked, just like I liked country, as did you, particularly country in the latter 60s. Just loved it. You know, so, yeah, I think 1969 was probably the best year ever. Sure, there's no reason that I wouldn't like pop standards.
I mentioned to you once upon a time about that Perry Como song that I had vaguely remembered, but it came back to me, I think, I don't know if it was number one, at least it was top 10, called Wanted.
Oh, sure.
I thought that, yeah, that was one of the great pop songs of that time. Yeah. And that was probably, what, about 55, in there maybe?
Yeah, I think it was 56. But thereabouts, yeah. Someone Who Kissed Me and Held Me Closely, yeah.
So there was some great stuff back in those days.
Well, there were. And the other thing is, as I've mentioned many times, I was real sweet on the M.O.R. Morning Men. I thought that they were just so hip. There were so, you know, the Bob Cranes of the world, and you know, but there were many, and every market had them, and they certainly weren't going to play teen music, so you were going to put up with pop standards whether you liked them or not. And then by the early 60s, we started to get a lot of the Brazilian stuff, and of course, I adored that. So,
me too.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, there was a lot of that. So it kind of follows that I would like it. Now, what was interesting, and I think I've talked about this quite a bit, is it was rare that you'd find any personality who could move from pop standards into rock and roll with any credibility whatsoever. And of course, that's, you know, how a lot of the disc jockeys fell by the wayside and stuff like that in terms of for teens. But the guy who did it where no one else could was Bob Horn. He started Bandstand in 1952 with all the pop standards, and in 56 it was, you know, all rock and roll all the time, and he pulled that off. Of course, ABC wanted someone younger and better looking, hence Dick Clark, but and Horn was not a good-looking guy. I mean, he was, you know, you would look at him and say, come on. But the thing is, what transcended how he might have looked, he was older and not particularly attractive, but he loved the music and the kids knew it. And which, of course, you know, sadly, Dick Clark never did, and the kids knew it. So hang on a minute. Don't go away. We'll pick it up right there. We've got Leah and Marcus Hook and Stephanie and Madison. And sure, Tony Bennett, you bet. If there's something else on your mind, we'll talk about that as well. Of course, we'll have to get a little Sinead O'Connor in there, too. And if you don't know why, you'll find out in moments here on WGN Radio.
It's time. All five stars the show. Let's go. Turn up our radio. It's jam, jive, and gumbo. Got a solid beat. When you hear him sing, he'll knock you off your feet. It's time. All five stars the show. Let's go. Turn up our radio. He'll do his best to play your request. So start jumping. Don't worry about nothing. Hey now. Papa Style Show. Let's go. Turn up our radio. His jam, jive, and gumbo got a solid beat. When he starts to sing, he'll knock you off your feet. It's time for Papa Stomp Show.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's the Papa Stomp theme song. And years ago, someone I knew was trying to make a list of the great R&B jocks, the great early soul jocks. And he said to me, now, what about Papa Stompa? I said, well, the only problem there is Papa Stompa was three different people and all of them were white. And sadly, the guy who had the real talent and later was on the radio as Dr. Daddio was Vernon Winslow. And I can't say enough wonderful things about Vernon Winslow. And Johnny, who we're talking to from Austin, discovered him. Had you, Johnny, not heard of him before this?
I had heard of Dr. Daddio, but it wasn't the Dr. Daddio that I knew of.
Right.
And I happened to put the name in there today because I got this Dave Bartholomew CD about a week ago. Because I became interested in his music due to that Jack's Beer Boogie song,
right?
That we played, and so I ordered the CD, and then I'm looking at the CD and it says theme song to Papa Stompa Show, and I said, well, Papa Stompa was some famous DJ in New Orleans that I'd never heard him before, so I jumped on that track and I said, oh my gosh, I've never heard this in my life. It was just like what you just played.
Yeah,
I'd never heard before. And so today I went in on a search engine and I put in Papa Stompa WBOK New Orleans, and then I came up with this Daddio, and then a little feature, a video feature that was probably about 20 or 30 minutes long that I forwarded to you today about some of the history of New Orleans radio, and that's where I discovered, what was Daddio's real name again?
Vernon Winslow. And
I'd never heard of him.
This man was so accomplished. He came to New Orleans as an art professor at one of the universities. And he, boy, could this guy draw, by the way. Unbelievable. And could have made his money as a cartoonist. But nonetheless, he was a professor. And, you know, professor didn't get a lot of money. So he thought, you know, maybe I'll do some radio. And what he quickly found out is that there might be black music on the radio, but there was no way that a black man was going to get to play it. But by this time, New Orleans radio realized, you know, there are some dollars we might be getting there if we played this R&B music, but we can't possibly have a black guy doing it. And so they hired Vernon Winslow to teach white guys how to sound black.
See, I learned all this just today.
Oh, yeah, it's well known. And
I didn't know this.
Wow. Well,
no.
Vernon Winslow was on it as Dr. Daddio, and probably the one you're thinking about in Houston was, he spelled it differently. He spelled it D-A-D-D-I-O, and he later went to KDKO in Denver, but he was big in Houston for a while. But the original one is D-A-D-D-Y-O was Vernon Winslow, and there were others as well. So
well, that was his granddaughter that we saw in that video today, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that the whole story of him, I think, just came out.
Oh no, that story's well known in New Orleans.
But the feature that we watched, I think.
Oh yeah, right. Just, no, that was last year, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't even. I parked it in my computer there because I thought you'd be interested in seeing it.
Oh yeah.
But here's what I never knew, and I grew up in black radio, but I had no clue that back in the old days that you had to bring in a black man. Now, how did it go? To bring in a black man to have a white. How did this guy bring a black man in to tell a white man how to sound black on the radio? Was that it?
That was the case of what happened in New Orleans, but it wasn't the case of what happened at WLAC. That was Herman Grizzard and John Ara and Hoss Allen. All three of them were in fact white, but no one taught them how to sound any way other than the way they were sounding, and it was a riot because in the 60s, which was long after WLAC was doing all this R&B, you know, a decade after it, they had a newsman at WLAC, and I'm trying to think of his name, which will come to me later. But in any event, what was so funny is everybody thought the news guy was white because he sounded so white, and they thought all the jocks were black, and it was the exact opposite way. Don Whitehead, that's what it was, Don Whitehead. He later was an insurance salesman in Atlanta, but he had been doing the news on LAC, and, you know, the perfect diction and all that, and people just racist thoughts that they had figured, well, that must be a white man, and it absolutely was not. But it is a little interesting in New Orleans that, because New Orleans, in the 60s at least, you know, had the highest percentage of middle class black home ownership and residence and all that. So it was certainly not the kind of place you would think necessarily would just a decade earlier have had to hire Vernon Winslow. But, you know, I guess it's a working part of the South. What can I say? It's unfortunate, really unfortunate. Vernon, you know, did very well in everything he touched, but he could have done so much better. When he was doing that Jack show, you know, originally that was going to be at it was WMRY. It was going to be at the, and I don't remember if this was in the stuff you sent me or not, but it was going to be at the Jung Hotel. And because he was black, they would only let him come up in the service elevator. So Cosimo Matassa, who, of course, had J&M and a beautiful recording studio and so much great New Orleans oldies, said, no, we'll just build you a studio here. And that's where he did the show.
Well, tell me this. What was the thought on these radio station owners that they had to have a white...
You know,
come on and sound black. Did they think a black man was not capable of running a board or
console? Because Vernon was doing that. And see, what got him fired from WMRY was that one of the jocks, not one of the Papa Stoppa jocks, but one of the jocks there didn't show up. And so he got on the air and they fired him for it.
What was their what were they thinking? I'm trying to get the mindset. I don't get it.
Because you're looking for logic, and it makes absolutely no sense. It's just a horrible period of time all the way around. There's no condoning it or understanding it or accepting it on any level. But that's absolutely the way it was. And then, of course, Jack Spear said, you know, we're going to sponsor you. Well, of course, you got a sponsor. Now you got a radio show. So.
And that's how that Jack Spear boogie song became what it was, because I whenever I heard that, I thought this was done for DJs or something, because it mentioned Daddy-O in that song.
Well, there you go.
Jack Spear.
Yeah.
It wasn't a commercial.
Right. No, well, it was that show was like the Jack show, you know, back when people would go ahead and people, I mean, you know, businesses, or in this case a beer company, would sponsor a show.
Right.
So
sometimes they were 15 minutes.
Of course. So, you know, Vernon Winslow was just a Renaissance man all the way around, and just so talented on so many levels. So
the big breakthrough came when somebody didn't show up and he just went on there and grabbed the mic and took over and did his own show, and they fired him for it. And then...
There was about a 6 month period in between. No, there were wasn't quick.
But there was a lot of protests about that.
Well, there were. There absolutely were. But nonetheless, he had some lean times there, and he absolutely shouldn't have.
So, I'm beginning to think now that Jack's Beer might have, throughout the South at least, had these Jack's Beer shows, and possibly in different markets,
don't
they
know
called
of any.
The jock Dr. Daddy-O.
Well, I don't know of any. And
There was one in Houston.
Yeah, well, that's the guy who went to Denver, and he spelled it.
No, that was a different one.
They had two Dr. Daddy-Os?
That was Dr. Jasmo.
No, Dr. Daddy-O, D-A-D-D-I-O.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. And he went from Houston to Denver.
Well, I'm thinking of KTHT Radio in Houston in 1950, the early 50s, when they did the Jack Spear
thing. Okay, no, this was later.
Afternoon.
This was Jim Walker, who was Dr. Daddy-O.
I knew him.
Okay, well, he was Dr. Daddy-O in 63.
James Walker. I knew him.
Yes.
Well, as a matter of fact, I visited him when I went through Denver in 1991.
Well, then you got it. So
yeah.
He was Dr. Daddio, and then he was Dr. Daddio on KDKO in Denver. Not the best place to have a soul station, to say the least. But all the way around. But he did everything there. So, yeah. So,
I'll,
sure.
I'll also get you a good copy of that song by Jack's Beer song, because the quality of these recordings is really good.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
I did get my Winoni Harris CD. Very good. There's great music on there.
Yes. Yes, there
is. And I heard you play a McKinley Williams song on Monday night.
McKinley Mitchell.
I'm sorry. McKinley Mitchell. I get those. There was a McKinley Travis.
Yes, there was.
And then the McKinley Mitchell.
Right.
Yeah, the town that I live in.
Yeah, Chicago record. Great, great record. And I'll never forget, I was driving in Manhattan, it's by probably the mid-70s or so, and whenever CBS-FM first went to oldies, and some woman called up and requested The Town I Live In, and the jock acted like she was out of her mind. He'd never heard of the song, had no idea what it was. I'm like, shame on you. Not only was it, of course, big in Chicago, but it was a huge East L.A. record.
Oh, I know that. And what about McKinley Mitchell's I'm So Glad?
Oh, yeah.
That's really one of my favorites, too. And to wrap it up, I got because I didn't know much about her, anthology with excellent quality from the 30s of Bessie Smith yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and then,
absolutely.
She had quite a life. It wasn't a very long one.
No, it absolutely wasn't. And if you've never read the Edward Albee play, The Death of Miss Bessie Smith, you should.
Never have.
Yep, it's online.
I know you have other folks waiting, but thank you for Tony Bennett. Oh, and if you think about it and have time, consider playing Firefly.
Okay.
If you like it.
No, absolutely. I'm writing it down so I won't forget. All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Johnny. Appreciate it.
It was great talking to you. You have a great night.
Likewise, you too.
All right.
We'll get to Christine in Chicago. She's a first-time caller. All right. She's up next. Don't go away, Christine. Stephanie and Madison, Leah and Marcus Hook, Bill in Chicago. Plenty of room for you, too. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. But I know if you listen to this show, you love radio. Otherwise, you never put up with it. It's that simple. So hopefully you're well aware of the Sea Crane Company. Maybe you've ordered a bunch of stuff from Bob Crane. Bob was like you and me, except that he did something about it. When the rest of us were complaining that radio reception was just terrible on the current radios, he said, I can do better. And he did. Every radio that Bob Crane manufactures and sells has terrific reception. But not only that, a lot of them have other features as well. Now, when we talk about reception, we're normally talking about AM and FM, well, in general anyway, but he sells a Wi-Fi radio too. And the deal with Wi-Fi radio, of course, is if you want to hear not only all the stations that you can pick up that are overhead where you are, but over 30,000 stations from around the world and more, and then, of course, the podcasters and the internet-only shows and stuff like that, you need a Wi-Fi radio. And they're just terrific. The thing is, some are not that easy to use. And others have trouble connecting to your wireless access point. Well, the CC Wi-Fi 3 is really easy to use, and it will connect to any wireless access point. And it's just great. In fact, John, who screens your calls, listens to the show on his CC Wi-Fi 3. You can read all about it at ccradio.com. And, of course, with Wi-Fi radio, you're not signing up for an app. There's no microphone. There's no ads. There's no monthly fee. And this one has a full-size remote control, too, that's really, really kind of nice, with superior reception, meaning it will connect to just about any wireless access point near it, period. Now, you can read all about it at ccradio.com, ccradio.com, or you can call. Now, I usually say, or if you're not online, but the reality is if you're not online, you don't want a Wi-Fi radio. But if you are online, this is so much better than listening on your smartphone or your computer. Oh, it sounds a lot better, too, that's for sure, and easier that you just got to have one. So go to ccradio.com, ccradio.com. Look at the CC Wi-Fi 3. And, of course, yeah, you can go to Amazon for quicker shipping, but to get the real deal and great information as well as great products at ccradio.com. You can also sign up for their Sea Crane newsletter. You'll be the first to know about exclusive offers, so that's available too. Your choice, but I would. I did. So ccradio.com, look at the CC Wi-Fi 3. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. We'll forego the bumper because we only got a few minutes left this hour, and I want to get to Christine, a first-time caller in Chicago. So welcome to WGN Radio, Christine.
Hi, Raleigh. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. Yeah? Your turn. Christine?
I'm sorry. I wanted to turn my radio down.
Oh, okay. Well, we're together, we're together now.
Good. Anyway, I wanted to weigh in on the Tony Bennett piece because I'm fascinated by him.
Yeah.
And I think the caller before was asking, like one of your regulars, about the MTV experience.
Yeah.
And how that happened was it actually, of course, was his son, mm-hmm. Danny, who Tony Bennett had pretty much ruined his life between cocaine and spending all of his money.
Yeah.
And they were about ready, the IRS was about ready to take his tumor away.
Yeah.
And he became his manager, although his son never had a college degree. He was a And one of the things he did is he moved him to late night TV and said, you've got to get exposure. So he was on Conan O'Brien and some of these other shows, and then it moved to MTV. But one of the largest things that I found interesting is his son said to him, however, you never change who you are.
Right.
You never change the American champion in your songs who you are. And Tony Bennett was quoted as saying, I can't believe all these young people think I'm so cool.
Yeah, that's great.
And he would turn to sing with Elvis Costello, mm-hmm. Amy Winehouse, and then it turned his career around, up to Lady Gaga.
It's interesting that it worked from the standpoint of the ability for MTV to follow through. Yeah, his son got him booked on late night shows, but still, it's almost like a Cinderella story that it took off like wildfire. That's one of those things that I don't think you can orchestrate.
I agree, and I also think that his son was trying to model other things. Like, I guess he got a part on The Goodfellas. And he got some parts on TV that also really just gave him exposure.
Right.
So having exposure, even though it may not have been what he was famous for, led people to then tag along and look at him in these other ways.
Yeah. Well, he pulled it off. And, I can't think of anybody else who did.
No, I agree.
It's
That's
interesting.
Why I think it's so fascinating.
It is, because like I was saying to Johnny, all of the other guys, maybe, they had another business going, or they had their own television show or record label, or maybe like a Frank Sinatra, they had the Tony Rome movies. But here is a guy who was just a pure singer, a singer, and I don't think there's anyone else who ever pulled this off.
Yeah, and do you think it's because he didn't change? Like, I'm wondering that. Like, his son's advice of don't change who you are.
Well, I think that's a big part of it. You just can't. Like I say, if you listen to some of the stuff in the latter 60s through the mid-70s that record labels put him through and put all the pop standard acts through, just painful to hear. And so,
God.
Yeah, it's just criminal. So, he had to stick to who he was. But, I'll tell you, if it was 1985 and someone asked me to predict which of the old-time crooners could become a huge hit again, I doubt I would have said Tony Bennett.
Really? Who would you say?
I don't know, but I think I probably, I really don't know. But I mean, at that point, Tony Bennett was so, I don't want to say far down, but it just didn't seem like it was ever going to be more than a lounge act in Vegas if he was lucky.
Yeah, and I think he was so locked and loaded in what he did.
Yeah.
But I do feel like that, sometimes people say you have to, hit the bottom.
Oh, absolutely.
So hitting the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming up and being so flexible. I don't know of all that whole group that there was anybody as flexible to play with the people he played with.
Yeah.
And keep himself true to his music, but also embrace new music. Like, I heard that Billy Joel did a concert last night. I don't know if you heard that. And in the middle of the concert, Billy Joel and his saxophone came to the front, and they busted into Tony Bennett songs.
Oh, that's great.
Left My Heart in San Francisco. If you get a chance on YouTube, it's amazing.
I'll look for
that. And, you know, he sang with Billy Joel so many times. So I guess for me, I'm hopeful that... Also, I feel like there's this humble part of him that he didn't have to do it on his own. In fact, he found that kind of interesting.
Yeah. No, I agree. And his good guy nature absolutely came through. And that's a big part of it. Because, you know, you hear the stories about a Bing Crosby or whatever, and they're just painful. And you didn't hear that about Tony Bennett. Everyone that I knew who interacted with him, and I never had the pleasure, but I knew people who did, I never heard an unkind word. They liked him. So, yeah, that comes through.
Right. I didn't even know the drug thing until tonight.
Oh.
So that shows you how much.
Yeah. Well, you've ended the hour, and I hope you're going to call me again soon.
I will. Thank you for taking my call.
Glad you did.
Thank you.
Thanks, Christine.
Okay.
All right. So,
bye-bye.
Two more hours to go right here on WGN Radio.
So much I have longed to speak to you alone. True, I agree, I'm not of your society. I'm not a king, just a minstrel, but with my songs to you I moan. Though just a minstrel, in life we're so far apart. But royal queen, I see love in your heart. I love you too, your majesty. Isn't this really true? These things I asked of you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Minstrel and Queen, The Impressions, 1962 on ABC Paramount. Of course, Curtis Mayfield wrote it and produced it. And it was Karen in Hyde Park who wanted that. And she also wanted Senny Rita, I Love You, and we'll be playing that one tomorrow night. So, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And that is going to take us, I believe, Leah in Marcus Hook. All right, Leah.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
I can't complain.
I was calling because my internet is down and I can't Google anything, and I was wondering if you could find out how Sinead O'Connor died. They're not saying.
Well, they're not going to say at this point. Suicide's a real possibility. She's been threatening it. You know, her son commits suicide about a year ago. And
I know.
She did not recover, Shane. She did not recover well from Shane's death. And, of course, she's been fighting bipolar, diagnosed in 2007 and probably long before that as well.
Yeah.
So,
she had a lot of mental health issues. Yeah.
Right, right. And clearly...
She has three other kids, too.
I know. Does not have custody of at least one of them, but... The good guess would be that she probably ended her own life, but nobody is saying.
I know. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. So
did you hear about the three Marines, too?
What three Marines?
The three Marines that were found dead in their car outside a gas station.
Oh, yeah.
By Camp Lejeune.
Right. Absolutely.
That was carbon monoxide poisoning. I was like, it couldn't be a suicide. They were probably just sitting in there with the air conditioning on, right?
Well, you know, I have not read more about it than you have, for sure. But no, I don't believe that it was a suicide.
Yeah, I think it was accidental.
Yeah, I would think that that's a safe bet. So why? I don't know. And I know.
I always call with such cheery news.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, I mean, like we talk about it, it doesn't take much to look at the news and find all sorts of sadness and horror as far as that way. But I think, wasn't it like a missing person report that prompted the search? I think that's what it was. And I also think that they've also announced that, you know, nothing was found in the car, like drugs or contraband or anything like that. And they're not thinking there was foul play or anything of that nature. And it was a couple of guys about 23 and one about 19, I think. And it's hard to know. And, of course, absolutely carbon monoxide poisoning is a possibility. Usually that would come from being in that car quite a while it wasn't moving. So, exactly why, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. That's so weird. Just so weird.
Well, I'm sure there's more of a story there, but I think sad that they're dead, of course, regardless of reason, but good that it doesn't seem like it's foul play.
Yeah, I know. And then did you see the crane accident? That was a miracle that no one died. The crane accident in New York City?
Yeah, absolutely. And
that was a miracle, a real miracle that no one died.
Right. It caught
because it was at rush hour.
Right. And it caught fire before it collapsed. So
yeah. They showed the video of, up on the platform. There was someone shooting a video on their cell phone. Yeah. And the one guy was saying, should we leave? And I'm like, yeah, leave.
Well, yes. Yes, that answer would be a yes. You would think so. And on that 10th Avenue and 41st Street. So it was way on the west side. But 41st Street, that's sort of just on 10th Avenue would be just kind of west of the theater district. So,
and it hit another building across the street.
Yeah.
And these two women were in their apartment when it happened, and you should see their front window was just torn off. I mean, it was just gone.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's the kind of thing that absolutely it's spectacular as far as that goes. And I believe there were some firefighters hurt on that as well. It was
there was like 11 people injured, but not seriously.
Right.
So I was like, that it was a miracle because it was rush hour. And there's people everywhere.
I assume the deal was, and again, I don't have the facts, but I assume the deal was that the engine of the crane caught fire.
Because of hydraulic fluid, well, they said.
Yeah, rather than, say, the building caught fire, it was the crane that actually caught, but it was at, like, the 45th story level. And it was a partial collapse, and that was this morning.
Yeah. Yeah, but the video is unbelievable. People can pull it up on YouTube or whatever.
Well, and it's not only the crane, the 16 tons of concrete.
Yeah.
So that was
unbelievable.
That was like a sledgehammer. I'm sure the women in that apartment were more than surprised.
Yeah, but they came out unscathed.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
So, it is. That's one of the things where you say somebody's got a guardian angel. Because the workers alone, that'd be a few dozen workers. So sure.
Yeah. And I've been trying. My internet is down. I couldn't listen to you on the phone. I've been trying to get you on the radio, but I can't. I mean, I can hear that it's you, but I can't understand what you're saying.
Sometimes I feel like that too.
Mm-hmm. Albert said, I was asking Albert about it, and he said it's probably because the whole place is made of red brick.
No, the red brick shouldn't be a big problem, but if there's any steel girders in that anywhere, that would definitely be a big problem.
Maybe there is. I don't know, but because he said where he works at Napa, the place is made of brick, and they can't get like cell phone signals or radio inside very well, so they always go outside to make phone calls.
I think it's more than the brick.
Oh, okay.
but regardless, yeah. Well, if you go outside, can you hear it?
Yes, I can, but it's like really hot, and the mosquitoes are out, and I don't want to get eaten up.
No. I don't expect you to sacrifice yourself. I was just curious. All right, so... Good. Stay indoors. Believe me, I'm not worth mosquito bites. I guarantee you that's right. All right, well, thanks.
If I get eaten alive by mosquitoes, I'm O positive, you know?
Yeah, no, I do too. And yeah, Skeeter syndrome. And it's different in the mosquitoes from different places. Every time I move to a new place the first year, the welts are like from my wrist to my elbow.
And
after a while, your body says, okay, well, we'll just make it a 6-inch welt rather than a 16-inch welt. So, yeah, I know. I wish they knew for sure what, and, you know, they talk about blood type and they talk about what you eat and they talk about how you smell or, you know, all that stuff. And they don't know. But
they don't know.
No, they don't. But like you, I am an appetizer for a mosquito anywhere.
Oh, yeah, they just love to feast on me. I know.
I know.
Terrible.
Yeah,
But you don't have them now. You're in the desert, right?
Oh, we do, too.
You do?
Big time.
Because they don't have them in Las Vegas.
Yes, they do.
Well, they didn't when I was there.
It depends what time of the year you're there and all that. But, yes, I've been eaten alive in Las Vegas more than once.
Really? Because I was there in September and they didn't have them.
No,
they had flies, but no mosquitoes and bees.
You absolutely. The desert is no problem, no impediment. I mean, yeah, it's not gonna be like a swamp. But to say you don't get them, you get them.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I wish that wasn't the case, but it is.
Wow.
All right. Well, stay indoors, stay cool, stay away from the mosquitoes.
All right, I will. Thank you, Raleigh. Have a nice night.
You too. All right.
Bye.
888-876-5593. And, we got a pair of Bills. We got Bill in Boston and Bill in Chicago and Stephanie in Madison and Fran in Austin and room for you, too, on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that was John's request, actually. He said, play Apache for me. Happy to do that. Jorgen Ingman is who that was. He was a Danish guitarist and well known. He ran Metronome, a label there, but worked with so many people over the years, far cry from rock and roll, but nonetheless, a lot of stuff. But Apache turned out to be a big instrumental hit in America in 1961, and that was on Atlantic. Yeah, so that's sort of a medley of his stateside presence, but a terrific guitarist. 888-876-5593-8888-ROLLYE. And that is going to take us to Bill in Chicago. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Yeah, well, you know today.
All right, what's happening?
The reason I'm calling you, you were talking to, I think, the caller two calls back. Was it John? You guys were talking about the white DJs playing R&B music was sounded black.
Right, John Goen. That's who we were talking
about. Right. Well, do you realize that Amos and Andy on radio was all white?
Well, of course.
They play black. They
of course.
Duel on radio. I mean, it was like...
No, of course, that's
They were all white performers back then. In fact, even Al Jolson did blackface. on his in his programs. No,
they're all true. All true.
Right, and then also another thing. You know, Elvis, when he first came out, they wouldn't play him in the South because they thought he was black.
Well, in some places. In other places, he was
right.
well-known.
Right, there were some places they played his music. But
well,
they,
not only that, were some places where he was well-known. You know, like no one in Memphis thought that he was black. No, right.
But he was on, the story is that he was on WSM one night being interviewed, and they asked what high school he attended. And, of course, he mentioned the high school. And, of course, that was an all-white school in the South at that time in the 50s. So that's why then he started getting more play and more popularity. But when he first started out, and then, of course, one of the big influencers on him, I don't know if you know this, was Rosetta Tharpe.
Yes.
You know, she was a big influence on Elvis. So, yeah. I saw a play this past weekend of Marie Knight. Was called Marie and Rosetta,
uh-huh.
about Marie Knight and Rosetta Tharpe,
uh-huh.
their story. It was really interesting. And then I looked it up. I never really heard of her before. And I looked her up on the Internet. And, man, they got pages and pages and pages of stuff about her. Plus, they got some YouTubes on there. You can listen to it. And also, mm-hmm. the Marie Knight was a friend of hers. They were together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was quite a singer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I don't know if you ever played her or know of her. But
absolutely, I know who she is. I'm probably not going to play much of her, but of course.
I mean, mainly her stuff with gospel.
Well,
and blues,
you know, Didn't It Rain, of course, you know, everybody knows that.
Right. That was the big one on the, in the show, Didn't It Rain, right?
And Evelyn Freeman, of course, redid it in a really nice version, too. But yeah, Didn't It Rain.
Right.
So, sure.
And she was a real early electric guitar player too, I guess.
Yeah.
She played guitar electric.
She made it until about, I'd say about 14 years ago. Marie Knight died, and she was old.
Right.
Like 89.
And Rosetta, she died somewhere in the 70s, I think it was.
But
I remember right, because she was born in 1915. But the ironic part of it was, according to the Internet stuff, Marie Knight, they don't know if she was born in Alabama or Florida, but they knew she grew up in Newark, New Jersey, because her father was a construction worker there.
Yeah. Now, Rosetta, I think, died she was not even 60. She died in Philadelphia.
Oh, that way? I forget where she passed away. She was born in 1915.
Yeah, and died like in the 70s.
Early
70s. Philadelphia. But yeah, absolutely. Sure, no, there's a lot of that.
It was like John kind of was amazed.
Well, no. You got to put this in perspective. Amos and Andy were on the radio in 1929.
Well, that's right, of course.
But what I mean is that that is a definite throwback compared to training, guys playing R&B records on the radio, training them to sound black. That's just out there and so decidedly wrong. And
it was. I mean, because, you remember when Amos and Andy went to TV, they were black performers.
Well, of course.
Right.
They couldn't
have somebody on there with
you would hope not
blackface,
it was surprising because of the time frame, also because of what is playing, and of course that quickly changed when Jack Spear sponsored the show. Suddenly Dr. Daddy-O is on the radio, so you betcha.
All right,
well, good to talk to you. Thank you, Bill.
Okay,
bye. All right, we got Bill in Boston, we got Stephanie in Madison, Marianne in Chicago, and we got Fran in Austin, and right now there is one, count them one, line available for you. Well, turning to what's going on in the world at large on WGN Radio News from WGN Radio.
Come on, baby, hold my hand. Hold my hand. Come on, baby, and hold me tight.
and Radio. I'm Riley James. We're talking about Marie Knight. Well, there she is. Come on, baby. 1962 on OK. Yeah, 888-876-5593. Going to take us to Bill in Boston. What's up tonight, Bill?
Hey, good evening, Riley. How are you?
All right, how about yourself?
Not bad. Maybe I can help put a little bit on Tony Bennett getting to the MTV generation.
Okay.
Boston Globe had an article last week, and just quickly, I'll read just a, says, from the earliest days, WBCN was known for its free-form style of programming. Even by the Rock of Boston's loose standards, though, the music of Tony Bennett was an anomaly. That didn't stop Chachi Laprite from tearing open a delivery from Columbia Records containing a vinyl copy of Bennett's latest album, The Art of Excellence, one day at the BCN studio in 1986. And when program director Oedipus gave the young DJ the go-ahead to play a selection from Bennett's new album, WBCN helped kick off one of the most unlikely comebacks in pop music history. Bennett, a star in the 50s, a has-been in the 70s, would soon become the living embodiment of the great American songbook for the MTV generation. And then it goes on, I won't read anymore, to say how he and his son were so grateful to BCN, they stayed very close with this over the years with this Chachi Laprite, and he accompanied them, you know, to several things like over to London and to a Super Bowl and a Washington appearance on the 4th of July and so forth. So,
yeah, and BCN was instrumental. There were a number, actually, of AOR stations. It was definitely album rock that brought them back, but it still begs the question, you know, you get a lot of records in the mail. What was it about that one that, you know, BCN and, like I say, some others as well, thought, yeah, let's go on this? It's just interesting.
The article happens to, I didn't read it because I didn't want to take it
up. Right, good.
It said this Laprite grew up in Cambridge listening to his parents' recordings of the great Italian-American crooners. And so that's why he, you know, was interested and happened to open the album and so forth.
Yeah, it's interesting how, you know, there's definitely an X factor there that's involved. But regardless, what a great life. And what an unusual comeback.
Oh, yes, yeah. And you were right saying back then, you know, what a turnaround.
Yeah.
But amazing.
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you. Could you play Tony Bennett for me one sometime?
Yeah, which one do you want?
When Lights Are Low.
When Lights Are Low. Okay, absolutely. I'm going to, in the third hour tonight and tomorrow night, I will continue to play all Tony Bennett. So let me look When Lights Are Low. If it's not tonight, it'll be tomorrow night.
Hey, thank you.
Sure, my pleasure.
Bye-bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593. 8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Fran and Austin and Stephanie and Madison and Marianne in Chicago, and there is absolutely room for you right now on WGN Radio. No, I thought there was another break. Maybe not. Well, I don't know. Or maybe I'm just on my own here. So I'll just say, let's talk to Fran. All right, Fran, welcome to WGN Radio.
Okay. Hi, Raleigh. Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to talk about Tony Bennett also. First of all, I have a Tony Bennett request.
Yeah.
Your Cold, Cold Heart.
Oh, yeah, big, big hit.
Oh, man, the way he does that, I just, every time I hear it, you know, makes tears come to my eyes. The way he just, the pathos, or, you know, in his voice when he sings that, and his phrasing of it, and I don't know. It's just
Well, sure, that's what made him great. Absolutely, that you could you could hear it, hear his emotion.
Yeah, and those are the great singers, I think, the ones that the song, they don't sing the song sings them.
Right.
And he's one of those. And I'm reading a book about him, and it's called Just Getting Started, and it's by Tony Bennett and, I can't remember the other name, Scott. My brain. Anyway, senior moment.
Okay.
But one thing that they were talking about in the book was his mother was a dressmaker during the Depression.
Right.
And if she found, material that was, or a dress that she was supposed to make that she thought to be inferior, she would refuse to make it.
Interesting.
And Tony remembered that and tried to live his life that way. And, he wouldn't do it if it wasn't what he thought was quality, was good quality.
Yeah. Yeah. Scott Simon. So, Scott Simon is the guy, the other author.
That's it. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, sure.
I knew it was Scott something.
Yeah.
But it's talking about his interactions with all kinds of people, from Bing Crosby and Nat King Cole to Lady Gaga and Amy Winehouse.
Oh yeah.
And I'm sure I'm going to be up late reading that.
Well, it was my understanding that the Amy Winehouse thing hit him really hard, because he thought, I guess there was some interaction between the two, and he thought that she was, on the road to being okay. And, of course,
didn't. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'll bet you that's in the book. You can tell me about it when you read it, because I have not read the book.
I sure will.
All right. I'll look forward to that.
All
Thank
right.
you. All right.
Okay.
Good deal.
Thanks, Raleigh.
Yeah, sounds like a good read, and I think you can get a copy right now on Amazon. Yeah. I think it was last week a listener had recommended I get the Kevin Matthews book, Broken Mary, and I started that today, and just an incredible book. So I'm enjoying that thoroughly. And, of course, if you are a Chicago radio fan, well, you know who that is. But this might be a side of him you don't know. So that's where that is. All right, so I'll try it again to say this is WGN Radio. Well, it should be here. I think I queued it up. All right, maybe not. Oh, there we go. All right.
Listen how our happy hearts are beating, like the ocean beats upon the sand. And our feet in rhythm keep repeating every little movement of the band. Do 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 do. Sweet music, soft and mellow, soothing and slow. Strains of a mellow cello when lights are low. Dear, we're so close together. I love you so. Why think about the weather when lights are low? Two hearts revealing music hath charms.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Tony Bennett, When Lights Are Low. I said I'd play it, and there you have it, 1964. From the album of the same name, it also was released as a 45 as a flip side. On Green Dolphin Street was the A-side of that. But When Lights Are Low was the name of the album. So there you have it. 888-876-5593. Columbia, of course. So Stephanie in Madison, welcome back to WGN Radio. Did we lose Stephanie? Well, it's been a while. Yeah, John even came in and admonished me, saying, Stephanie's been on hold too long. Well, Marianne has too. But Marianne, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm all right. How about yourself?
Okay. I want to thank whoever requested Apache.
Oh, that was John, actually.
Oh, my God. I wanted to request that song for so long, but I thought it didn't meet the criteria.
No, I like Apache. I even play it on KJ.
And you know what? You can't beat a good drum line playing it at a football game.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Oh, my gosh. It puts goosebumps on you.
All right.
But I called a request if you would play Baby I'm For Real. I think it's by the Originals.
It is the Originals, yes.
Okay.
Yes, which is also the Bells. There's two incarnations of that song.
And you know what? There was one other one. I can't remember who sang it, but the main words were, "Oh, how I wish that it would rain."
Oh, gosh. Yes. Now, let's think about this, because as you say that, I'm not thinking of it that way either.
Oh, how I wish that it would rain.
Yeah, I probably won't play it, but it'll drive me crazy that I can't think of
it. I know.
Oh, well.
See, that's how I got caught in a torrent today on the way to the doctor.
Yeah. No, I don't think I'll be playing it, but I would like to try. It'll drive me crazy now. Oh, well. Thanks for that.
Okay, well, if you think of it, just say it.
Yeah. Well, that's usually what happens in the middle of something else. I'll just shout it out, and I'll have no context whatsoever.
No croutons tonight for dinner?
They're here. I had to eat corn. I'm doing a transit test. You don't even want to know what a transit test is if you don't know, and I'm not going to explain it, but it requires corn.
Okay.
So, we're not thinking of the Temptations, I Wish It Would Rain.
Maybe.
Yeah, because Oh How I Wish That It Would Rain is in there. Yeah, I'll bet you it's that Temptations record.
That's probably who that was.
Yes,
then.
I'm not going to play it, but it is the Temptations.
Well, good thing you said that, because now we can both sleep tonight.
Right, right. I'm pretty sure, yeah, the title is I Wish It Would Rain, but there is a line in it where they say, Oh How I Wish It Would Rain, so that it would rain. Yeah, that's it, the Temptations. All right.
Okay.
Well, glad we cleared that up.
Me too.
All right, thanks.
Okay, have a good evening, everybody.
You too. So 888-876-5593, lines are wide open, waiting for you. Of course, if all else fails, I have the tabloids. That's right. That's right. Slime from the checkout line, if all else fails. But yeah, I was mentioning so corn for dinner for this transit test you don't know about. But corn is one of those things that upsets me so much because it's almost impossible to find it that it isn't genetically modified, and it just doesn't taste the same. Yeah, I don't know if you've experienced this, but it's harder and harder to get real food. And I know we've heard some of those news reports recently that they're going to come out with the fake meat and the fake chicken, you know, and all that and the stuff that I don't even want to think about it. Yes, lab designed and all that. But when you get down to it, it seems that everything is adulterated. And like I was mentioning last night, there was an article where the government says, oh, that's not bad for you, in terms of the food, pyramids and all those kind of things. Sure, some additives, some preservatives, some adulteration. I'm not so sure about that. And I think it's becoming harder and harder. And unless you're cooking everything from scratch, which means that you got time that I don't, how on earth do you eat well? And I'm trying to figure that out. And so I haven't yet. I know it's not the services that'll send you food. That's for damn sure, because I've looked into all that. But in terms of easy ways to eat real food that don't have additives and don't have preservatives and don't have red dye number whatever, or yellow dye number whatever, yeah, all that. I've yet to find the answer, but I think that it's probably wreaking havoc on our health. I know it's certainly doing that on my taste buds. So It is Wednesday, as you might know, July 26th, and Al Banks would have been 86 today. Yeah, my favorite Al Banks record, though, he didn't sing lead on, which was Golden Rings. And a lot of people have done Golden Rings, though. Ed Warsham was going to sang lead on that. But Al Banks sung lead on a number of other wonderful Turbines records, so maybe we'll play some of him. And Dobie Gray would have been 83 today. Yeah, the In Crowd. And, of course, Out on the Floor, one of the biggest Northern Soul records ever, as far as that goes. Bobby Hebb would have turned 85. Sonny. Yeah. And he was from Nashville, start to finish. His parents were blind musicians. And he and his older brother were singing and dancing as kids. In fact, Bobby was on Roy Acuff's band, believe it or not, trumpet, while he was in the Navy. Mick Jagger turned 80 today. Well, if you don't feel old now, I tell you what, 80. And Darlene Love, 82. Brenton Wood, 82. Yeah, July 26th. That's obviously, that's a hot day in history. So plenty of things to play, but I think we'll save them and play more Tony Bennett, this being obviously the time to do that. But I won't forget these birthdays, and if we don't get to them this week, maybe we'll get to them tomorrow, but if not, next week. But let's see. We've got about a minute left. Natalie in Aurora, we'll start her questions there. I don't know what they are, but we'll find out. Hello, Natalie. Welcome to WGN.
Hi. I should have called last night, but it was getting near midnight, and I wanted to ask a question about a specific musical by Mr. Percy Faith, and the title, I believe, is called The Brotherhood of Man, and also this same music was in the movie Chinatown, and I can't find my copy of that CD, but I just loved it, and I even went to the library to find it, but probably something I will have to go to Amazon or...
Well, yeah, or go to YouTube. It's all there.
Just go to YouTube and download
anything you want. And I know I know Percy Faith, A Man and a Woman, was taken from a lot of different things. But Brotherhood of Man, I'm not as entirely sure. But if you go to discos.com, and I can do this for you, you can find out what it appeared on in terms of his stuff. And I will do that.
Right,
don't go away, and I'll come back with a list, I hope. So stay where you are.
All right.
And we've got another hour of this right here on WGN Radio.
I call her Firefly, 'cause oh my, she radiates moon glow. Wants none of that noon glow. She starts to glitter when the sun goes down about 8 p.m. It's mayhem, she switches those brights up, lights up, and gives me a call. Take me to the Firefly's ball, but when I get her there, set her there, do I get to pet her there, and grab me some glow. No, she's a gad about, mad about, luring every lad about, while leaving me moaning low. Firefly, why can't I latch on to you, know how? Oh, how I love you, but gee, while you set the night on fire, fly, shine a little light on me. But when I get her there, set her there, do I get to pet her there, and grab me some glow? No, she's a gad about, mad about, luring every lad about, while leaving me moaning low. Firefly.
WGN Radio, Raleigh James, Tony Bennett, Firefly. That was Johnny Goen's request. Happy to do that. 1958, Columbia. And we're talking to Natalie in Aurora. All right, so I've done this search, Natalie, because you mentioned Percy Faith and you mentioned Brotherhood of Man. Well, firstly, I can't find any titles with Brotherhood of Man. All I can find, of course, is the smarmy group from England. But the only intersection, because I looked, is there any intersection between Brotherhood of Man and Percy Faith? And what I I discovered was that a record that Percy Faith covered in 1972, Brotherhood of Man covered in 1981, and that was Without You. So that's as close as I get.
Okay. Yeah, this was in the soundtrack for the movie Chinatown.
Okay.
I'll have to clean my room and find that.
Well, let me do that. CD. Let me go to Chinatown and see what I get there, because I did not do that, and I can. Because this would not be it. All right, Chinatown. We got a lot of stuff here. And I don't love theme from Chinatown, but let's see. There's a soundtrack album. And what is on it? Love theme from China, but it's not. I can't get it. And I'm looking for anything that would have Brotherhood or something like that in there. And
yeah,
nothing does.
And it may, yeah, it may not, you know, hearing it on elevator music, and I would always listen for the title, but
well, that's
I may be wrong.
No, well, it's interesting you say that. Normally, on a soundtrack, there would have something would come up like that. And
sure.
I've got the Chinatown soundtrack. I'm looking at it right now from 1974,
right.
And I don't see anything like that.
Right.
Oh,
yeah,
so now you, if you find it, you got to tell me.
Yeah. I'll have to clean my room and find the soundtrack.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'll tell you the titles that are on it. Love Theme from Chinatown,
okay.
Noah Cross, Easy Listening, Jake and Evelyn, I Can't Get Started, The Last of Ida, The Captive, The Boy on a Horse, The Way You Look Tonight, The Wrong Clue, J.J. Gittles, and Love Theme from Chinatown.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that Love Theme, it's, I just remember at the point in the movie when it was playing it, I think.
Well, let's see what Love Theme from Chinatown sounds like. I can easily pull that up, and we can hear it. Now, I don't know if it'll be what you want, but I don't think that it is Percy Faith. But let's see.
Oh, that is it.
All right, that's the Love Theme. That's the Love Theme from Chinatown. Jerry Goldsmith did it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. And you'll hear it throughout the movie. So yeah, that's Jerry Goldsmith, and you can actually still get that CD probably anywhere, you know, like Amazon or any of those.
Okay.
But yeah, just look for Chinatown original motion picture soundtrack, and the artist is Jerry Goldsmith.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Tonight.
My pleasure.
Alrighty. All right.
Thanks for calling.
Good talking to you again.
Likewise.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, Jack Nicholson, Faye Dunaway, Roman Polanski, Robert Evans. Yeah, all the big names. And it was Jerry Goldsmith who did that. So now you know. And you're saying, who is Jerry Goldsmith? Well, he did a lot of film and television scores. He's from L.A., Pasadena, actually. And oh, man, he was born in the 20s and died about, 20 years ago, maybe a little less, and did a bunch of stuff that, A Patch of Blue, he did the stuff for that, and, other things as well, but Our Man Flint, trying to think of what else, Sand Pebbles, yeah, there's probably more, but that's off the top of my head, which isn't great, but yes, Chinatown as well. All right, so good. I'm glad we had this little chat. 888-876-5593. That's 8888-Raleigh. And yes, James, who sends me all sorts of links. Welcome back to WGN Radio, James.
How are you doing?
Well, all right. How about yourself?
Well, okay. I can say is that, I was starting to feel like how a piece of meat fills an oven.
Oh, yeah?
But, yeah, that was out all a good portion of the day. Okay, it was busy. I felt like, I was glad to get back inside when I finally did. Only to realize that tomorrow will be hotter and Friday will be the hottest.
Well, how hot are we talking?
Well, they're talking 95 for tomorrow.
And what's the humidity?
The humidity, they're talking about the heat index will be well over like 105, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the next day, 96.
Yeah, well, humidity makes all the difference because 95 and 96 seem pretty balmy to me right about now, but we don't have that much humidity. You know, like, for instance, here it's late at night and it's still over 110 degrees. So,
our old coach and I did a visit there, I guess, a week or two ago.
Uh-huh.
He said, well, here in the valley of the of 100 sun.
Yeah, well, it's another day more than 120 where we were, absolutely. But again, there's just not much humidity. And I think right now at night, when it should be a little higher, it's maybe 18%. But in the day, it can be single digits. And that does make a difference. Now, you know, John would argue that no, when it's more than 120 degrees, he doesn't care what the humidity is. But I disagree. I think he absolutely would.
I had this feeling a month or two ago when we got hot one time, and there wasn't really much, humidity with it. I said, now this kind of must feel what you guys in Arizona feel like,
yeah.
Basically. Because it was kind of a weird sort of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't know if I, okay, actually, in a way, actually, in some ways, I don't know which one is worse to feel. Actually, this one is actually more devastating, especially for people whose bodies can't
oh, absolutely.
Cool.
Absolutely. No, heat is the worst. You know, people talk about cold weather, but the reality is when the weather's cold, you can still keep putting on more clothes. When it's hot, there's only so much you can take off. Nothing you can do to really relax in the heat. So as usual, whether it's the heat or whatever, people are behaving badly. And, you know, I didn't realize, but I guess it makes sense. Double Jeopardy does not stretch to being arrested for the crime, because here we have an Arizona woman who's been rearrested again for the same crime, murdering her cousin with a hammer. And so,
I'm just like thinking, really? I'm like, apparently this person has anger management issue.
You think?
Yeah. obviously this person does not, obviously you could actually say this person does not take no for an answer.
So apparently, her cousin was was he a Marine? Certainly, yeah, a Marine vet, and she was intoxicated when she attacked and killed him with a hammer, which makes me wonder what was he doing, you know. But nonetheless, here is the deal: Brianna Zerth, I think was her name. So she's been rearrested for killing Kevin. And
and you start thinking, is there any okay? For one thing, for certain, he obviously, let's put it this way, if he did nothing wrong, then he's, let's just say he's obviously he ended up at the wrong place, the wrong time,
well,
altogether.
Now, she has an interesting history because, of course, she's already been to jail for trying to run over her boyfriend with a car while she was drunk. So drunk driving and trying to use the car as a weapon, they let her out of prison somehow, and then she kills her second cousin with a hammer. And there's a wonderful picture of him with a beautiful dog. I'm glad she didn't go after the dog. But apparently,
yeah,
for trying to run over the boyfriend, she only got probation. So apparently now they've rearrested her again. The first time they let her off because she said it was self-defense. And apparently there was absolutely no evidence that it was.
Yeah, let's put it this way. If I was somebody basically who had a social mixer going on, that would be the last person, one of the last people I'd invite.
Well, so there you have it. I didn't realize, but it does make sense. As long as you're not on trial and all that, you can be rearrested for the same crime as I guess officials can't figure out why they ever let her go in the first place. So now she'll be tried for that. We have plenty of drug smuggling, although, you know, I mean, today alone, between the submarine and the fishing trawler off Italy, that's a combined almost, what, 10 tons of cocaine? So that's...
Yeah, and I'm thinking, really, as all this is going up people's noses, and then the fentanyl is like, then you have the gangs basically now doing organized retail
theft. Right, I saw that. So drugs aren't enough. You now have to go to retail theft, the big box stores. I'm not 100% sure. And laundering the profits through Chinese brokers. This is a little out there.
Yeah, you start to actually say, what? Okay, the Chinese have a little... My government has a little too much time on their hands.
I don't know. I can't imagine, because we're not talking about shoplifters. We're talking about true organized retail crime, and apparently this is going on in multiple states. Now, I figured that the people involved in the drug trade, the cartels, would be making so much money from the cartels they wouldn't need a side hustle here. But apparently,
when you consider that plus the human trafficking.
Yeah, well, and you know, that's right. Of course, if you lose too many submarines, I guess there goes the profits. I don't know. But nonetheless, it's utterly amazing, and that's not even to get on people versus people crime. So, yes, another fine day in paradise here.
Oh, yeah. And then there was the case of where apparently this one guy, where the guy had committed murder in one country. They let him go. Then he commits a crime elsewhere. Then he somehow gets out of that in over here. Then he gets out of another crime. And then finally he kills two people. And finally they do arrest. I'm like, you mean it took all that killing, where he was just simply working his way up the chain, before you could have stopped him? In fact, I think he was like in Montana. He had used his girlfriend. He had pimped his girlfriend, who was from Germany. And I'm like, okay, and apparently because of the pandemic, yep, okay, the young didn't want to come back over, and then the judge basically allowed the guy to basically walk.
Well, there's a lot of that, unfortunately. Yeah. Now, then the Spirit Airlines thing, where, of course, they got a whole video of it, the woman pees in the aisle. The rest of that story is she had to go to the bathroom for 2 hours and they wouldn't let her. So, I mean, this is another exemplar of why I don't get on the commercial flights. But, yeah, she's asking to go for 2 hours. They say no, so she gets up and pees on the floor. Yeah. And so I guess that qualifies as in-flight entertainment. I'm not 100% sure.
I don't know either. I'm like, yeah. I like say, oh, I don't think okay. I'm glad I don't go on flights too much.
Yeah. I'd avoid it at all, drive at all possible costs. Yes. So it's an interesting group as always. You never run out of things to forward, and I appreciate every one of them.
Okay, I'm glad. Okay, and I won't comment on the Sinead.
Sinead,
that's tragic.
Yeah, no, it is. It is tragic, and I'm pretty sure she took her own life. But and there are many people close to her who would say it's been a long time coming. But that's a true definition of hopeless and helpless, because when you see somebody in that position and you just cannot in any way get through to them to change it, it's a very helpless feeling. So
yeah, and I think what ended up happening was I think besides her own problems, then I think the tipping point was her son's death, and then the anniversary. People have a hard time with tragic event anniversaries.
Absolutely. All right, good deal. Yeah. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay, you take care. Keep cool.
I'm going to try.
That's all we can do.
Yeah, I heard that. So if you want the final word, we've actually got another half hour, so it may not be the final word, but if you want to get in on this, and of course, like I say, somewhere around here, I've got slime from the checkout line. It's been a while since we took a look at the tabloid, and James is always great at getting us those stories, too. So all that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Once upon a time, a girl with moonlight in her eyes put her hand in mine and said she loved me so. But that was once upon a time, very long ago. Once upon a time, we sat beneath a willow tree, counting all the stars and waiting for the dawn. But that was once upon a time.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and let's see what's going on in the world at large right now with WGN Radio News.
I tried so hard, my dear, to show that you're my every dream. Yet you're afraid each thing I do is just some evil scheme. A memory from your lonesome past keeps us so far apart. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart? Another love before my time made your heart sad and blue. And so my heart is paying now for things I didn't do. In anger, unkind words are said that make the teardrop start. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And of course, the late now, I hate to say that, but Tony Bennett. Yeah, a life well lived and a life charmed in many ways as well. Promised I would play Cold, Cold Heart and happy to do that. We'll get a couple more on as well tonight. And then, of course, tomorrow night we'll spend some time doing that also. So Chuck is in Rockford. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Chuck, what's happening tonight?
Oh, well, I was without power for 12 hours, I guess.
Oh, no.
Like that here.
How hot was it?
You know, we had a bad storm come through, and it shut.
Yeah.
Well, we had dependable power except for that particular time. But I tell you what, it's so funny that you even try to turn the lights on when the power's off.
Oh, man, but how hot did it get while the power was off?
Well, you know, I was lucky. When that storm come through, why it cooled things down.
Uh-huh.
But we did have a 90 degree weather here.
Mm.
And I have a nephew out there in the Phoenix area that had some problem with his air conditioning, and he was here in the Midwest when one of the motors went out on the unit, and that cost him about $700, I guess, but he didn't have much choice but to take care of it right away. And I would imagine most of that was labor, but that SEER rating has a lot to do with the economy of what the air conditioner can do. I don't know if you've got much air conditioning going on there, why you probably should do an audit on what your units are doing.
Everything's central here, start to finish. But the reality for us in Globe is that, remember, we have radio stations, three of them actually, and you pay for that power every month. And so your air conditioning is nothing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, the problem we have here, and it's a ridiculous ordinance, but because of God knows what, in the summertime, in order to try and get people to conserve, they double the rates. And this is a true story. Now, of course, if you're a broadcaster, you can't cut your power. You may want to, but that's not the way it works. You know, the FCC is very picky about you broadcasting at your license specification. So I have no choice with how many kilowatts I use. But nonetheless, when I get that bill in summer, it's, it's upwards of over $2,500 a month. Well, in winter, it's more like $1,000. So, nothing you can do about that. But, I mean, when you say audit your air conditioner, who the hell cares? You know, I mean, it's just too far down.
Well, they've made a lot of advances in air conditioning the recent years. I replaced some units here, and I got myself down to 15 SEER. And it cut my bill, almost in half.
Yeah, it can. The other thing, of course, is what you're expecting those units to do, which is another problem. You know, if you're sitting here expecting that you're going to, when it's 121 outside and you want it 62 in your bedroom, which is my favorite degrees in my bedroom, you're not going to have the most energy efficient unit to do that. To say the least, our biggest problem with Central, when we're in Scottsdale for John's therapy and all that, where I'm sitting right now, is that the Central air is decidedly closer to the master bedroom. So by the time I get to the studio, I'm warm. And warm to me is anything over 75. And so I was just talking today. I said, they won't let us puncture the walls, but maybe we can bring in some in-room air conditioners for when I'm not on the air, because it is a problem. But, it's typical. But, it's the same thing.
Yeah, that's almost, even like, of course, you probably don't have the heating problems there that we do in the Midwest, but the zone your heating in the areas you're not using, when you're not using, let them throttle back.
Right. Well, what it is, and I've noticed this, having lived in 32 cities, that when I was living by the Canadian border, they knew everything about heat, but nothing about air conditioning. And, you know, when you're in areas like this, they know everything about air conditioning, but nothing about heat. Now, fortunately, I've been here, what, 10 years now? I don't think I've turned on the heat because I don't care. You know, but boy, that air conditioning, I'd say 12 months a year. Yep.
So, did you go to that area for health reasons?
No,
for
I went to the.
Or?
No, I've told this story before. I was minding my own business in Chattanooga, living there because it had the best broadband in North America, the gig city and all that,
yeah.
And enjoying every second of that internet. It was just delightful. And many years ago, 1980, a friend of mine who was a top 40 disc jockey said, "You know, I'm going to be 52 and I'm getting too old to do this. I want to put a radio station on." And back then, if you found the frequency and did all the engineering to it, you could apply for and get it. But by the early 80s, if a woman or a minority wanted that license, they could use your engineering to file against you. And even though you filed, they'll get the license. So my buddy lost about half a dozen licenses. And he called me up one day and I said, "Well, you want to use my name?" No, that wouldn't be ethical. Would have been fine with me. What I want is I want your help. You know, I want you to find me a radio station. He was so location. He was so disgusted with having lost licenses that what he said to me is, "I want you to find me the worst place on earth so no one will file on me." And I said, "Okay, other than worst place on earth, let's look at priorities." And he wanted to be within 90 minutes of good medical and a bunch of other things too. So anyway, together we plotted and I found some frequencies in Arizona and he got them. And so all was well. This was the 80s. And he called me while I was in Chattanooga, said, "Remember the worst place on earth?" And I said, "Oh yeah. Well, you're about to own radio stations in it because I'm dying. Get here." And so we figured, well. And and here we came. And so that's, you can't move them. They're where they are. The interesting thing was, as challenging as radio is, I was able to take our tower sites, which have become very valuable because the cell companies love them. So, that's the bulk of the income.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it could be worse. Would we like to be in Chicago? You betcha. Our heart's there. But at this point, because of John's stroke and my health, and originally it was my health, now it's both of our health.
Yeah.
We're not going anywhere for the time being.
Well, if you're close to medical facilities and stuff like that,
we can throw rocks at Mayo.
Oh yeah.
So that tells you right there.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're where we need to be for right now. Although I'll tell you, as far as rehab, best rehab in the world is in Chicago. Shirley Ryan Ability Center is unbelievably good.
I'm up to an age where if I can avail myself to that stuff and have it close, it means a lot.
Of course. Of course. No, that's true for all of us. I think at many of the places I lived in the past, like in Rockford, I was there a year. I never went to the doctor, that kind of thing. I was in places like Louisville, I never went to the doctor. Now, Indianapolis, I will say, yes, I used all their medical facilities. But for the most part, I could be a number of places where, you're young and, whatever your problems are, it's not so bad. Man, you hit the wrong side of 70 and suddenly it's like, where are the medical facilities? So, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I don't think I even took as much as an aspirin until I was about 60.
Yeah. No, that's most people. So sure, but then it becomes increasingly important. So yeah, that's why we're here.
Yeah, I guess you got quite an audience. I don't know if you're picking up new people all the time or not.
I hope so.
I was kind of surprised too at how many blind people you must have listening.
That's always been the case. That's always been the case, so.
Yeah, well, it's good
that.
Company for them.
It's good company
for
me.
And
it's good company for me.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
I've noticed, they're talking about AM. I noticed when I got my power back on, my AM radios, I was listening to them on battery, you know, and then all at once they kind of got...
I know exactly.
The fuzzy sound.
Well, like I always say, when the power is out, you know, most people, if it's at night, they run for the flashlight first. No, that's what I run for second. The first thing I run for is the AM radio, because DXing is going to be wonderful. So, yes, of course, that's the best part about the power being out, especially at night. You can DX to your heart's content.
Yeah, well, you know, I go back to having a crystal set.
Sure.
When I was a kid.
Sure.
And, I've come all the way through, you know, the transistor stuff and that.
Of course.
I had one of the first, I think it was American-made, a Bulova radio that was a transistor radio. Mm. It had a 45-volt battery in it. I don't even know if you could buy that battery now. It looked like the 9-volt.
Right.
But I bought it in a jewelry store.
Okay.
And, God, I paid an awful price for it when you consider, you know, the you want, the, you know, the first of whatever it is, you usually pay plenty.
Well, of course, because the R&D isn't in it. But I think the first one was the Regency, the TR1, and that would have been 54. Transistor was, of course, Bell Labs. But I think the Regency TR1 was the first one, and that would have been 54. And then in 57, Sony came out with something. My favorite were always those Zeniths. I loved those Zeniths. Of course, you know, before that, the Transoceanic, of course, with tubes and later transistors. But those Royal 265, 275, 285, I thought those little Royal transistors were just the best.
Yeah,
really good stuff.
Yeah, I was building some of that stuff, you know, more like tube type radios, and then some of the crystal stuff.
Sure.
I was trying to get germanium diodes.
Yeah.
And I don't know, somebody had any use for them. I couldn't even buy them.
Yeah.
But I've had hands on that all the way up through, you know, to what we've got now. But
John told me to shut up, so I'm about to shut up.
Oh,
Chuck,
yeah.
We'll talk to you soon. All right, thanks. Well, appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, this is our 30th anniversary, so.
Well, there you go. All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593 if you want the last word. I don't know if there'll be time to get it, but if not 21 hours from now, we'll do it all again on WGN Radio.
Hi! Gray skies are gonna clear up, put on a happy face. Brush off the clouds and cheer up, put on a happy face. Take off the gloomy mask of tragedy, it's not your style. You'll look so good that you'll be glad you decided to smile. Pick out a pleasant outlook, stick out that noble chin. Wipe off that full of doubt look, slap on a happy grin. And spread sunshine all over the place, and put on a happy face.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, that's Tony Bennett. And now the late. Hate to say that, though. In the last year or two, it's been. This is a relief for him, to say the least. But a loss for the rest of us. And we'll play more Tony Bennett bumpers tomorrow night. But we have the waning moments, and they belong to two people, to Sherry and Jim. So let's kick it off with Sherry in Naperville. What's happening tonight, Sherry?
Hey, how are you?
All right.
It's been hot. But I agree with everyone else. I wanted to share with you something I got, because I think yesterday someone was talking about old-time radio, and then or maybe it was the night before, but from the WDCB's College of DuPage I listened to on Saturdays. But the one guy that passed away, Con Alexander, and Connie Shaughnessy, who is a volunteer on Saturdays as well, she answers the phones and stuff. And she sent me, she says, oh, we have these cards. And so I wasn't able to attend the memorial back in November. But so I just wanted to share that with everyone. Do you think they'd be interested? Because it's kind of cute.
Well, how long is it?
Very short. But on the front of the prayer card, I guess you call it, is a dove in flight. And then on the back, it, in quotes, it says, costume, scenery, and special effects provided by your imagination. And then it says, in loving memory of Kenneth A. Alexander, entered this life August 21st, 1929, entered eternal life November 2nd, 2022. And then the interment where that is. And then here's looking at you, kid. And then Connie, she said she had to. I said, oh, this is so cute. I called her back. And I, and she says, oh, I had to wrap my wrists because my, I said, who typed this up? So in a typewriter print on a piece of paper that she must have done three or four down and cut them, and I'll read that. Some of you may have known of Ken Alexander's long-term relationship with Smitty, his electric typewriter, formerly known as Smith Corona. In honor of Ken and Smitty, this heartfelt thank you has been typed on a manual typewriter, a distant cousin of Smitty. Although each of us have our special and unique memories of Ken, we all will miss him, and each of us realize that we will never meet the likes of him again. He will be profoundly missed by all who knew him. Thank you for sharing your love of Ken with us. It was overwhelming and very comforting. Barb from the Framemakers and Connie, those were the days.
All right, very nice.
I just thought it was so cute, and especially that she took time to type up all these notes.
Yeah, very nice.
Yes, and did you figure out the girl that called about whatever soundtrack album? Did you guys
we absolutely figured it out. I even got her the artist, yes.
Okay, because I was even going to mention when she said she went to the library. Like, I know our libraries in Naperville, we have interlibrary loans. They can get them from Bolingbrook or Chicago, so I don't know. And I never knew about that originally.
But she can order it from Amazon.
Oh, if she wants to order it. Yeah, that's fine.
That's the easiest way to go. All right, good to talk to you. Thanks.
You guys have a good night.
All right, you too.
Oh,
yes.
A quick request, and I don't know the name, but didn't Tony Bennett sing an Italian traditional song? It wasn't Funiculi for Nicola, but... something like that.
Well, he did several on a couple albums, but I don't know if we will or not. But I'll look at some.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we'll pick him out tomorrow night, and then that'll probably be it as far as multiple Tony Bennett songs. But there's always going to be one occasionally as well. There should. All right. So the waning moment, and when I say moment, that's singular, goes to Jim in New Hampshire. You got to call earlier tomorrow night, Jim.
Oh, I will. Don't worry. But thanks for the Tony Bennett, and kind of reminds me of when MAQ was a pretty good MOR station there in Chicago. I remember them. They were
absolutely.
I think, Jim Hill was over there.
MAQ and IND, they're and of course
IND was another one.
CFL,
Howard Miller was there.
Absolutely, and CFL before they went top 40. So yeah.
They were awesome.
You betcha.
MOR.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. But anyway, I know it's time to say bye bye, so I'll just say bye bye, and maybe I'll call a little earlier tomorrow.
I'll count on it. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. And we thank Adam for keeping us on the air. We thank John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank those of you who called, and I implore you to do that again tomorrow night, especially if you didn't call tonight. Yes, it's time for you to step up to the phone. So 21 hours from now, we'll do it again. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.